You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, how are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I know that my granddaughter and your daughter, Shelby, celebrated a big birthday yesterday. Is the glow still going on there?
Yes. She turned 7. Last night, we had a movie night in my bed and, snuggled up. And all the kids, we watched Babe. So they've been talking about Babe today. It was a big hit.
Well, that's tremendous. It's amazing. 7 years ago. That just, in some ways, it seems like it's flown by, and in some ways, it seems like she's been here for a while, but
I know.
It was good to catch up with her last night.
Oh, I know. She loved getting to talk to you guys. So, yeah. She definitely did. So, are you coming to us live from the international headquarters?
Oh, I am. We are live in the international headquarters in Durham, North Carolina, USA, and have had a really full Leadership Edge day. This whole working from home thing, I've done this for pretty much my whole career. This is not a new thing for me.
A smooth adjustment for you in that respect.
I am staying awfully busy, and that's, at my age, whatever you're going to do and be, you need to be doing and being. So I'm getting after it. So that's good.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, Dad, today we're doing the fourth and final podcast on the lifestyle leadership model. So would you give us kind of like an overview of where we've been and then let us know where we're going?
Oh, you bet. Okay. Well, the lifestyle leadership model is one that God guided me to in the mid to late 1990s, and actually wrote a book on it called Leadership as a Lifestyle that came out in 2001. And basically, it's looking at leadership not as a position that you hold in an organization, but more around the kind of influence that you have both in the organization and elsewhere. And it was an attempt to look at leadership not just in one sphere, like in work, but at leadership that would be the same whether you're leading in your marriage, family, career, community, church, wherever you're leading. So in that model, we talk about that if you look at leadership as primarily a process of interpersonal influence, that to gain that influence, you have to be able to put forward three things. The first one is character, which gives you the weight of moral authority. And the second one is competence, which gives you the weight of developed ability. And the third one is commitment, which gives you the weight of focused attention. And so the three podcasts we've done prior to this one, each one has been on the first one, character, then competence, and then commitment. And then today we're doing the fourth one, and it is on how God's word and God's character is the basis of our integrity. And we'll be talking about how our character, competence, and commitment have to be aligned with God's word and God's character for there to be integrity in our lives. So that's where we're going today.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Okay, and so I want to go ahead and make sure we mention that we'll be including two papers as part of our show notes today. Usually there's one, but today we have two. So the first paper we've shared before on the lifestyle leadership model. And then the second paper is called How Christ Exemplified the Lifestyle Leadership Model. So tell us more about that second paper.
Yeah, well, the second paper is as the title says, it's basically how Christ exemplified this model that we've been talking about. And the purpose for that is not to say, so lifestyle leadership is obviously Jesus' approach to leadership. I don't think that any mortal will ever be able to seal in a book or a podcast what Jesus' approach is. We can definitely look at ingredients, but he was God and we're not. But we are putting forward the idea in that paper that in Christ's character and his competence and his commitment, that he lived those out, that those were foundational to his influence, and that he lived a life that was always in alignment with God his Father and with the Word of God that had been written up till his time.
Okay.
So we're looking at Christ in that paper as an example, really a perfect example of someone who exemplifies lifestyle leadership.
Awesome. Okay, well, and so at the beginning of this second paper, you say that Jesus's teachings and examples focus on character that flowed from a pure heart. And so I was just curious to hear you explain more about that.
Well, yeah. What does that mean? Yeah, it flows from a pure heart. And as I want to back up, though, for just one thing before we get to that. I want to make the point here that we talk a lot in business leadership and really any kind of leadership, political leadership, governmental, Christian, church, family. We talk a lot about the importance of integrity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what we mean by that is it's kind of a synonym for honesty, that we're to have integrity and that means we're to be honest.
Okay.
But I think that it's good to take the word on its face, and it's the idea of integratedness.
Huh, okay.
That our leadership has to be integrated with something that is foundational, something that is a basis.
Okay.
Something that is an anchor, that is a rock. And so with this fourth podcast, what we're talking about today is how God's Word and God's character for the Christian is the basis, is the foundation, is the source of his or her integrity.
Yeah.
And to that point, that whatever character, whatever competence, whatever commitment I put forward as a leader, it has to be, for a Christian leader, it has to be integrated with or drawn from God's Word and God's character. And to the degree that it is, then there is integrity. I am an integrated leader.
Yeah.
To the degree that my leadership is not founded in God's Word and God's character, then I'm still leading, but I've lost my integrity. There's not an integratedness in my life. And I think that this isn't just a nice little theory here. This is really important for day-to-day life. Like, I can be leading at work and thinking, well, I'm a Christian. I know that I've come to Christ, that he's brought me to faith through his gospel. So obviously I'm a Christian leader. But to be a Christian leader, say in this meeting or in this decision or in this action or in developing this policy or putting forward this product, it has to be synced up with how would God's Word guide me in this, and what would his character tell me what is the right thing to do here. So that's what we're getting at here today about this whole idea of integrity, that it's important. It's especially important for anyone who puts himself forward as a Christian leader. And again, the basis for our integrity is God's Word and God's character. That's our foundation. That's our anchor. So back to your question in talking about Christ's character, and I put forward the idea that his character comes from a pure heart. What do we mean by a pure heart? I think we can think about it pure in the sense that it's not dirty. I mean, it's not been tainted.
Polluted.
It's not been polluted. So it's pure in that way. And certainly his heart was pure in that way, in that he was without sin. And in his, you know, in his mind and his heart and his soul, he lived with purity. He was an example of purity. But I think another way we can think about purity is in the kind of the sense of holiness, and that his heart was set apart for God. And the things he treasured were the things that he saw that God the Father treasured. And that was really the basis of what was in his heart. And so that's important for me as a Christian leader, because neither of those are true for me. Like,
yeah.
My heart is very much polluted.
Right, me too.
And that's even after almost 50 years of walking with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is somewhat set apart for God, some ways not set apart for God.
Uh-huh.
And so the heart work, the character that has to be done, is continually facing what's in my heart,
yeah.
and that being illuminated both by God's word to me and God's character guiding uh-huh. me. And as I see the impurity, the unholiness, the parts that aren't of him, going to him and asking for his help, asking for him to change me, and being honest about that. Does that get at your question, Laura?
Yeah, I think so. And so is the connection, like, because with where you started, like, I'm going to mm-hmm. make sure that I'm making the connection that you're
yeah.
making. So the way, yeah, like, because we're not Jesus, none of us no. has a naturally pure heart. And really, mm-hmm. like, there are limits to the level at which we will ever achieve, you know, purity of heart on earth. But that the way that we move towards that is as we consistently are aligning ourselves with scripture. I mean, that's mm-hmm. how we know, like, what's pure and what isn't pure. And then when we're off track, like, ask, like, repenting and getting back on track. And I guess also just, like, praying a lot and yeah. asking God to give us that kind of a heart. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And I think we see, you know, the nature of his character, the nature of his heart, you know, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount and just his teaching there, and where he talks about blessed are the pure in heart, that this is a real value of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he teaches about leadership and he says, mm-hmm. you know, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve
mm-hmm.
and to give his life as a ransom for many. And even right before he's going to be betrayed and crucified, he humbles himself and washes his disciples' feet. And we just see these consistent things about his character that show the kind of purity that we're talking about in him,
yeah.
and the kind of purity of heart that we as his followers long for and mm-hmm. long for him to create in us.
Yeah.
So his character is character that comes from a pure heart, and his promise to us is that is a lifelong aspiration for us to have, that he'll continue to build more and more into us, and that one day, you know, when we go to be with him, it will finally be there. We'll
yeah.
finally be people of pure hearts, and that is a glorious thing to consider.
Yeah.
No,
that's really good. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go.
Well, I was just going to say, and you know, as we then move from there to competence, you know, mm-hmm. the three C's of lifestyle leadership were character, competence, and commitment. You know, how did Jesus exemplify what we call the seven competencies? And if you remember the podcast we did on that, we talked about they were challenge the process, inspire shared vision, enable others to act, model the way, encourage the heart, maintain accountability, and maintain personal perspective and balance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, want to give attribution. The first five of those come from Kuz's and Posner's research that was written up in the book, The Leadership Challenge.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, and the readers or listeners who download the How Christ Exemplified Lifestyle Leadership paper,
mm-hmm.
they'll see where we point out examples of how with each one of these, like, what was the process that Jesus was challenging? How did he inspire with his followers a shared vision? And then how did he enable them to take action? How did he model the way? How did he encourage the heart?
Yeah.
How did he maintain accountability, which is an interesting one? How was it that the Son of God had to maintain accountability, but at every point he was accountable to God, his Father, for everything he did? And then, interesting also, maintaining personal perspective and balance. You know, it talks about how he slept while they were traveling in a boat. It talked about how the Bible talks about how he had to get alone for prayer. Hmm. He, as God and man, he had to do those things that kept him in balance, which is hard for any mortal to get their mind around.
Yeah.
But I think is certainly and certainly true. And then we'll get into his commitments, where he just consistently lived out his commitment to the mission that God had called him to the people that God had called him to, and to the kingdom values.
Hmm.
So with Jesus, we see the character, competence, and commitment, you know, throughout his ministry here on earth. It's really quite remarkable.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, with that kind of reminds me, you know, as you're talking about like Christ's time on earth and how he really was like fully man and fully God and kind of like both of those things. But in the paper, you talk about how he consistently modeled both alignment and submission with God's word and character. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah. I mean, again, let's just wonder about that for a minute. The whole idea that Jesus, the Son of God, you know, God-man, God incarnate, that he still aligned himself with and was submissive to and yielded to God's word and God's character.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a remarkable thought of what that says about him, what it says about his love for his Father, what it says about the nature of the Trinity. And it to me is quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of examples, you know, in his actions, in John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does.
Yeah.
So there's a complete yielding of himself in terms of his actions. And then in terms of his thinking, in John 5:30, he says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me.
Hmm.
And that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't think.
Right.
It wasn't that he was a robot.
Right.
But it rather means that even his thoughts, his judgments on things, were always submitted to God the Father.
Hmm.
And then in his choices, John 6:38. It says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't come to be kind of a autocrat of his own. He came to represent what his Father wanted. And then finally, in his speech, and there's a number of passages that talk about that, in John 8:28, so Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then John 12:49, for I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it.
Hmm.
So you see in these examples, and it's interesting, all of them come from the Gospel of John. And it's interesting how one of the distinctives of the Gospel of John is how it puts forward Jesus's ministry, but always in alignment, always in submission, always in continuity with the will and the way of the Father.
Hmm.
And it's important, I think, for us who lead, wherever we lead, for us who those of us who have influence, that's the same goal that God has for us in our business, in our neighborhood, in our community, and church, that we would be similarly aligned to him, similarly yielded and committed to him,
mm-hmm.
to where in our actions, in our thinking, in our choices, in our speech, they would be consistently aligned with God's word and God's character. And I think one of the things, practical things, that means for me is for me to come to have this kind of integrity that we're talking about. One of the things it's going to mean is that I'm going to need to consistently be in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Word of God and His character is my anchor, are my anchors, then I have to be in that Word to understand both what it says and especially what it says about the character of the Father that I follow.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, like, I guess I was thinking about what you said about, like, yeah, Jesus's commitment to God's Word, because, I mean, he could, and I mean, I guess he did share his own words as well, but just that he knew the scripture so yes. well, even though he was God and could say anything he wanted, you know, but like, yeah, even his commitment to the Word of God, that's just interesting to think about as well.
Boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, you know, I think with some of us, we hear this and we're just like, well, fine, but who could ever become this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, gosh, this is like the great aspiration of life. That somehow, some way, as he continues working in me, that I can move more and more to be a man who is little by little more like Jesus and the kind of influence that I put forward wherever it is and whatever sphere of influence. So we can read it and just, well, you know, how could that ever happen, or, you know, well, I'm human and
right.
all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
and I think if we just play it off like that, really we do miss, I think, one of the great aspirations in life, and that is that slowly my influence can have the same kind of effect that his did because of what he's doing in me to affect his will in my life.
Yeah. Man, Dad, that's really encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also just like, I am hearing so much of your enthusiasm for that, of just like, this is something that God has really like, yeah, just like captured your like imagination and heart for. That's really neat to hear. Were you about to say something else?
No. Well, I think what I would say to your comment just then is I always refer back in my life to when I was 16 and the Lord saved me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my life was just disastrously being wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sad thing. And to think that God not only rescued me from my sin and through his grace saved me, but that he could take someone like me and put this aspiration in my heart.
Yeah.
And slowly over the years helped me to see it slowly in small ways come to pass. It's somewhat of it is a miracle.
Totally.
For me. And
always,
and that's
yeah.
why I think that for those of us who are tempted to just play this off of, well, that's Jesus and I'm not Jesus,
mm-hmm.
What makes me so sad about that is they're missing the adventure. They are missing, again, one of the great aspirations of life, that I can have a similar effect on others as he did, as I continue to anchor my life by his grace and his word and in his character.
Man, that's so encouraging. Yeah. Well, and even just that, like, if that's even a goal, then like, it just like, how could I possibly like aim towards wanting to be like Christ and not, I mean, kind of like you were describing, like be like depending on God, praying, you know, like you have to depend on God to even have that as a goal, even if you're
absolutely
not, even if you're not doing well at it, you know. And just like, I mean, yeah, how much of the joy of life is just like growing in dependence on God, you know, like, I don't know, it's just encouraging.
Oh, that's good. Well, I think a wrap-up thought for me on this is just, as Christians, when we use the word integrity, let's use it for everything that it means. And it doesn't just mean that, well, generally I'm honest. It's a lot more than that. For us to be Christian leaders who have integrity, it means that by the grace of God and by my obedience to him, I am continually working by his grace to be anchored in and established in His Word and in His character. And that robust, just enormous sense of integrity is just so much bigger thing than, well, yeah, generally I tell the truth.
Yeah. Man, that's great. Yeah, I think my big takeaway from this is, I mean, one, just like your enthusiasm is contagious of just like having that vision. It just inspires me to like move into the rest of my day, you know, of like, God, help me to be more like you today than I was yesterday, you know, and praying to that end. So, yeah, thanks. That's helpful. So, Dad, can you wrap us up?
Oh, you bet. Just one thing to our listeners, just want you to know that we care for you. I know that many of you, I don't even know, but I know this is a rough time for people in the U.S. and in pretty much every other country around the world. And if you're hearing this during the COVID-19 pandemic, our heart and our prayers go out to you. And may you continue to just be established and strengthened to believe Him and to run to Him in the midst of whatever your need is. And may you find in Him everything that you need. Mm. And just want to remind you that Leadership Edge, our personal vision statement, that's the core thought of our mentoring, is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And even in the midst of a pandemic, it is still a great time to, by God's grace, step forward. Just want to remind you that we are a 501c3 Christian nonprofit organization, that financially we need the donations of donors to keep us moving forward with the mission and vision God's called us to. And if you want to make a donation to Leadership Edge, you can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and right at the top of the front page, you'll see a donate button. So thank you for considering that.
Great. Thanks, Dad. All right, listeners, thanks for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.